Elder God, who is like unto thee. Follow the song. It is a worship song, but it's youth style. Who is like unto you among all other gods? There is no one like you among all other gods. The one who rules the heavens with great authority. There is no one like you among all other gods. Very simple. The chorus, the response is hey, 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 somebody, hey, hey. All right, let's go.
Who is like unto you among all other gods?
big shout of praise. The Lord bless you all. God gave me that song early this year, and it will soon be out. Who is like unto God? But right now, there is a God who wears an agbada of sunlight. His inner jacket is fire. His face is like the sun. Can you give us track 4? Alagbada, you know? Quickly. Volume, yes. He is the one who is clothed with light as with a garment. He wears an agbada of fire, an inner jacket of fire. Anybody ready to celebrate God? Your hand,
Jesus, Baba. Alabada, 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 Alabada,
is anybody celebrating God?
Oba mimo,
Lord of Lords, a big clap and a shout of praise. Lift your hands high up. Father, we give you the praise and the honor because you are God. We appreciate the privilege of loving you, the privilege of knowing you, the privilege of relationship. We say thank you. Well done. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. For everything you have done in this convention. From the beginning till today and what you will do tonight. Blessed be your name. Let not one man, woman, boy, girl live here the same way they have come. To you be the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand here. A big shout of praise. And help me shake the hands of three people and tell them, get ready for an encounter with God. And then you can take your seat. Get ready for an encounter with God. And you might be seated. Hallelujah. I want to once again appreciate our daddy Gio and mommy, mother in Israel, for the privilege of standing here. And the privilege of ministering, not just to people here, but people watching all over the world. And this privilege shall not be taken for granted in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We appreciate every of the youth and young people's leadership, those who are outgoing and those who were commissioned last night. The Lord bless you and bless your labor in Jesus' precious name. Tonight, this morning I have been asked to speak on the subject, meeting the master's standard. Meeting the master's standard. What it takes to meet the master's standard in order to become a vessel of honor, in order to become an exceptional vessel. I am going to be reading Ezekiel chapter 14, from verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 13. He said, Son of man, I'll read verse 13 and 14. When the land sinned against me by trespassing grievously, then I will stretch out mine hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof. I will send famine upon it. I will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, we are in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Meeting the master's standard. In scripture, in the Old Testament, there are three people, or there were three people, that God placed as standards of uprightness, standards of righteousness, standards of holy living. They were Noah, Daniel, and Job. He made reference to them again in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 19 to 20. Is as far as God were concerned, Daniel, Noah, Daniel, and Job were standards of vessels that God can use, standards of uprightness, standards of righteousness in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God gave Jesus his son as a standard. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. But we are going to look at the life of Daniel, because among all of them, Daniel was the youth. He was about 17 years old when he entered into Babylon. And we have a young people's conference here. So we are going to look at Daniel, the youth that met the master standard, that became a vessel of honor in his generation. Anybody here hearing what God is saying, say aloud, amen. I want to say four things about the life of Daniel and how significant Daniel was. Number one, Daniel was a captive, or rather, a Jewish slave that became the highest person in the Babylonian Empire apart from the king himself. He was a slave that rose to authority, that rose to prominence in the most powerful kingdom on the face of the earth. That's number one thing to note about Daniel. Please, I'd like your attention to be very accurate. Number two, Daniel was a man who excelled in three realms in the Babylonian, the Median, and the Persian Empire. He excelled in three realms. Number one, he was in charge. Or let me say it like this. Daniel was a man who was in charge of three realms in his generation. Number one, he was in charge of the academicians or the wise men of Babylon. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 20, Daniel was 10 times better than all the wise men in, 20 times better than all the wise men in Babylon. Daniel was in charge of the academicians or the wise men. Secondly, Daniel was in charge of the magicians or the spiritual realm of Babylon. He was in charge of the magicians or the spiritual realm. Daniel chapter 5 verse 11. The Bible said that Daniel was made in charge of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans. The question is, was Daniel a magician? No. Daniel was a prophet. But when they looked through the land of Babylon and they wanted to see who had more spiritual insight, more prophetic power, who could see more, who could hear more, who could operate more in the supernatural, Daniel was above all the Babalawos and the Mamalawos and the Boyalawos and the Gielalawos and the Babyalawos. All the Malams and the Alphas. He was above all of them. So they said, you be in charge. When the magicians and spiritual people's association of Babylon gather, Daniel, you are on top of all of them. There are people seated here today that God is about to place in certain realms above your contemporaries. If you are among them, shout the loudest, amen. So Daniel was the man, first of all, who was the slave that became the most prominent person in the Babylonian Empire. Number two, Daniel was the man that was in charge of three realms. And then the third realm, of course, that Daniel was in charge of was the political realm, the governmental realm. Daniel was the man that was the highest government officer. Maybe you call him the head of service, or maybe you call him the secretary to the government of the federation. He was in charge. The Bible says there were 120 vice presidents, but Daniel was in charge of all of them under the president. That was how powerful he was. What was it that made Daniel such a vessel of honor? And the fourth thing, of course, was that Daniel single-handedly changed the opinion of Babylon towards God. He single-handedly, when he entered the lion's den and came out alive, Daniel single-handedly changed the Babylonian Empire towards God, until the king made the law that anyone that would not fear the God of Daniel, they should pull down his house and make his house a dunghill. Somebody lift up your right hand, say, in the name of Jesus. Say it louder, say, in the name of Jesus, I shall affect my generation. Lift your right hand, say, in the name of Jesus, I shall be a Daniel that shall affect my generation. Say, in the name of Jesus, I shall be a Daniel that shall affect my generation. The question is, what standards did Daniel maintain for God to make him a reference standard, standing him with Job and Noah? What standards did Daniel uphold that made him? There is one more thing I have not said. Daniel was a man, you might call a man of perpetual relevance, that reigned through the administrations of four kings. Daniel started with Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar died, he continued with Belshazzar, his son. When Belshazzar was killed by King Darius, Daniel continued with Darius. When Darius was overthrown by Cyrus, Daniel continued with Cyrus. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 21, perpetual relevance. Governments came and governments left, but Daniel could not be released. Most of the kings were antagonistic kings. You can imagine somebody who was in Obasanjo's regime in Nigeria, and then Goodluck Jonathan's regime, and then the current regime, and the regime before that regime, and the person has remained, and the governments that came and went, none could change him. It is called the mystery of perpetual relevance. I believe that there is somebody here today that is about to embrace the mystery of perpetual relevance in your generation, in your family, in your community. It doesn't matter who comes to power and who leaves power. You shall be relevant. Lift the right hand and say after me, in the name of Jesus, I am perpetually relevant in my generation. Now take your seat. What standard did Daniel meet? 8 standards. I'm going to rush through this morning. This morning will be more of instruction. Number 1 standard was existence with a sense of purpose. Existence with a sense of purpose. Daniel, the Bible said, in Daniel chapter 1 and in verse 8, he said Daniel purposed in his heart. Existence with a sense of purpose. There are 3 or 4 things I am going to say about a sense of purpose. A, the purpose of life is a life of purpose. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. When there is no purpose in life, there is no reason to live. B, life without purpose equals time without meaning. Life without purpose equals time without meaning. When a person is living a life and there is no purpose for his life, he has an abundance of time, but he doesn't know what to do with his time. See, life without purpose equals the wastage of life's potentials and opportunities. Life without purpose equals the wastage of life's of potentials and opportunities. Where a person does not know why he is alive, potential is wasted. Opportunity is wasted. Life without purpose equals the wastage of potentials and opportunities. D. Living without purpose equals ending with massive regrets. Living without purpose equals ending life with massive regrets. Whenever you see anybody regretting too much at the end of his life, it means that he lived a life to no purpose. Living without purpose equals ending life, shatakala bagatakala, with very massive regrets. You shall not regret. You shall not regret. Finally, number 5, or E, 1E. Daniel existed with a sense of purpose. 1E says, life without purpose is life with full burden. Life becomes a burden where it lacks purpose. It becomes a burden. That is why some people commit suicide. They can't see any reason for life anymore. So life becomes a burden. Life without purpose becomes a burden. Why am I living? Why am I wasting? It becomes a burden. My dear brothers and sisters, the first standard Daniel met was existence with a sense of purpose. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I shall not waste my life. We mentioned this briefly yesterday. You sleep for a purpose. You wake up for a purpose. You have energy for a purpose. What is it? What are you resting to achieve in the daytime? What are you eating to get energy to achieve? What are you dressing up to achieve in life? Purpose. Standard number 1. Existence with a sense of purpose. Standard number 2. Existence with an undefiled life and conscience. Existence with an undefiled life and conscience. Existence with an undefiled life and conscience. And let me say the following things out of an undefiled life and conscience. The Bible said that Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. You can call Daniel a man of unimpeachable integrity. Integrity that could not be impeached. A man of notorious integrity. A man notorious for righteousness. So he could reach where he reached. Living with an undefiled life and conscience. Not defiled by tobacco. Not defiled by alcohol. Not defiled by immorality. Not defiled by pornography. Not defiled by lesbianism. Not defiled by masturbation. Not defiled by lying. Not defiled by cheating. Not defiled by bitterness. What is the impact of an undefiled life and conscience? Note the following. A. This is 2A. To be upright is to end right up. To be upright is to end right up in life. To be upright is to end right up. What is the meaning of that? Integrity under God's authority. For a person to rise in integrity, he must stand in integrity. What does it mean again? It means that character defines destiny. Character defines destiny. Character defines destiny. Character defines destiny. Is God speaking to somebody here? How many of you know that the ego is in the same family with the vulture. The eagle and the kite and the vulture and those animals, they are in the same family, just like the cat family has the lion and the leopard and the house cat, and the dog family has the domestic dog and the wolf and the dingoes and the jackals. In the same manner, the vulture and the eagle are of the same character. Are of the same family? Am I communicating? But whereas the eagle is the king of the birds, the vulture is a reproach among birds. When you dream of an eagle, it's a good dream. If you dreamt of vulture, it's a nightmare. Why? The eagle does not taste corruption. If an animal is dead, even for just a few days, the eagle will not eat it. The eagle does not eat anything that is rotten. The eagle will not taste any food that is not pure and clean and neat. But for the vulture, the rotter the better. The more smelly, the better. So the vulture is a reproach. The eagle is a star. Whether you will fly in the sky like an eagle, or you will be on the ground as a reproach like a vulture, is a matter of character. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? Daniel refused. He proposed. Beloved, hear me today. The lion is the king of the forest. It will not taste corruption. Lions eat fresh food. The pig is the reproach among animals. It is in the mud that it celebrates its celebration. Beloved, the difference between being on the floor and being in the sky is the difference in character. So, to be upright is to be right up. Second, to be. Whatever defiles your conscience denies your excellence. Whatever defiles your conscience denies your excellence. Is it masturbation? Is it lie? Is it cheating? Whatever defiles your conscience denies your excellence. See, if your conscience is not clear, your coast is not clear. If your conscience is not clear in life, your coast is not clear. And so, we have seen two standards that Daniel lived by. First, living with a sense of purpose. Second, living with an undefiled life and conscience. Anybody following, say amen. Anybody following here, say a louder amen. Amen. Number three standard. Are you ready for number three? Living by conviction, not consensus. Daniel was a man who lived by conviction. It doesn't matter what every other person was doing. Daniel was not going to do it. It doesn't matter what every other person was doing. Daniel was not going to do it. If the whole world wanted to go to hell, that was not Daniel. Living by conviction, not consensus. Beloved, there are many people today who don't have a mind of their own. There are many people today who are permanently under the control of the crowd. There are many people today who are permanently under societal influence. Is this the way to dress now? Let's go. The trouser does not need to reach the ground anymore. Let it just hang in the air. Whether you understand the reason for it or not, no challenge. The trouser, it must not reach the ground. Let's go. Is it the way to dress now? Pressure on the chest. Pressure on the side. Pressure on the back. Let's go. They don't have a mind of their own. They don't have a conviction on their own. They live at the mercy of society. Ayagala, what a pitiable life. We have come to a point where people are almost turning into mad people. Confused society. Men are struggling to wear earring. Women are struggling to wear what we wear. Just a confusion. Elderly people trim their beard. Young people multiply their beard. Old people dye their hair. Young people paint their hair white. It's just a confusion. It's just a confusion. But I'd like you to take note of three things I'm going to say under this point. Number one, A. Until you have a mind of your own, you don't have a life of your own. Until you have a mind of your own, you don't have a life of your own. It is because the madman lost his mind that he lost his life. He is alive, but they don't count him during census. When was the last time you saw them counting mad people? He's alive, but nobody considered that he's alive. He lost his mind, so he lost his life. If you don't have a mind of your own, you don't have a life of your own. You begin to live the life of others. Second, to be controlled by the crowd is to be lost in the crowd. There are so many people who have been lost in the crowd. They are irrelevant, remotely disconnected piece of statistical materials that are only relevant for census purposes. Anonymous, insignificant, remotely disconnected pieces of statistical materials. Why? By being under the control of the crowd, they became lost in the crowd. They had no voice. Let me tell you the third thing. To be under the influence of society is to lose impact in destiny. To be under the influence of society is to lose impact in destiny. If you are too concerned about what society is doing and you want to do what everybody in society is doing, then you lose impact in destiny. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, louder, in the name of Jesus, I shall not lose my impact in destiny, in the name of Jesus. Listen. Those who set the pace don't keep pace with others. There are people in life who are struggling to keep pace. Is that what they are doing now? Let's go. Is that how they are behaving now? Let's go. Hear me. You are either a pace setter or a pace keeper. And setting the pace and keeping the pace are diametrically opposed, mutually exclusive. When you want to do one, you have lost the other. If you want to set the pace, you cannot be a keeper of pace. And if you want to keep the pace, you can never set a pace. Somebody lift your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, Louder, in the name of Jesus. I am a pacesetter. Louder, a pacesetter. A trendsetter. A history maker. A world shaker. Help me stand up on your feet and tell three people, be a pace setter, not a pace keeper. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. What standard did Daniel maintain? Number one, living with a sense of purpose. Number two, living with an undefiled life and conscience. Number three, living by conviction, not consensus. Number four, maintaining the right association. The maintenance of the right association. Daniel did not relate carelessly. He related carefully. In Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 17, when Daniel was challenged, the Bible said he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his companions. If you are Naomi, look for Ruth. If you are John, look for James and Peter. Not Judas Iscariot. Is God speaking to somebody here today? Hear me, beloved, and take note of three things, or four. Your first, this is 4A. Your association affects your destination. Who is with you is affecting where you are going. Your association affects your destination. The meaning of that is your company determines your destiny. You cannot have the wrong association and end at the right destination. You cannot keep friendship with a thief and friendship with a liar and end at the right destination. Second, your company affects both your mindset and choices in life. Your company affects both your mindset and choices in life. Who you hang around with begins to affect your thought pattern. Who you hang around with begins to affect what you desire. Your company affects your choices, and your choices determine your outcome. Is God speaking to somebody here? Thirdly, which will be final, your association either facilitates your distinction or enhances your destruction. Your association either facilitates your distinction or enhances your destruction. No friend leaves you neutral. Your friend is either raising you or ruining you. Is either an addition or a division. Nothing neutral. Your friend is either multiplying your impact or diminishing your effect. Is there any youth in the house? Shout, I am here, Lord. Listen to me. In the scripture, see that, sir. In the scripture, there are two people that I will use to illustrate the power of friendship. One was Amnon, the son of David. He had a friend. His name was Jonadab. Amnon began to have incestuous feelings towards his sister Tamar. He wanted to have immorality with Tamar, the junior sister of Solomon. But Amnon didn't know how to go about it. Then he had a bad boy named Jonadab as a friend, the son of Shimea. He was his cousin, David's brother. Some of your cousins can be your greatest devil. And Amnon said, the thing is easy now. Tell it, pretend that you are sick. And ask your father to send Tamar to you. When she comes, you know what to do. Tamar came, bad boy. Tamar came. And Amnon said, bring me food in the bedroom. Long story made short, she was a virgin, very pure. But this boy forced this girl by the advice of his bad friend Jonadab. Defiled, deflowered her. And she tore her garment of virginity and put sackcloth on her head. This girl begged, please ask my father. He will give you to me. Whatever you want. No way. And the girl carried her hand on her head and went to Absalom's house. Absalom said, is that what happened? Relax. The Bible said, Absalom spoke neither good nor bad to Amnon for 2 solid years. Bad boy too. Baddest boy, in fact. Then one day, he said, oh king, I have a feast in my house. I want all the king's sons to come, including Amnon. He mentioned Amnon. The king said, why do you specify Amnon? He said, I want them to come. Because everybody heard. They came. And Absalom commanded his servants, smite Amnon, only Amnon. When you know his heart is merry, kill him. Have I not commanded you? And Amnon died. Everybody fled. And they returned back to the king. Oh, Absalom has killed everybody. Guess who came to explain to David what happened? Jonadab. Jonadab. Jonadab, the same that advised Amnon. He came to David and said, it was not everybody that was killed. Only Amnon was killed. And he killed him because he raped Tamar, his daughter. Those who are giving you wrong counsel today are waiting to be alive to explain your calamity. Those who are giving you wrong advice today, and you call them your close friends, they are waiting to be alive to explain your disaster. To explain your calamity. To explain what happened to you while you carried out their advice and you died. They are still alive and they could repent. Anybody who has your ears has your life. Take your seat. You didn't hear what I said. Anybody who has your ears has your life. Anybody you have given your ears to for advice, you have given him your life. If you doubt me, ask Samson. Anywhere you find Samson, ask him. Anybody who has your ears has your life. If you give him access to your ears, he can give you any kind of counsel you want, and you don't say no to them. You have given them your life. That was Jonadab. But there was another friend. His name was called Jonathan. The friend of David. One day, Saul wanted to kill David by all means. And he had planned to kill him at a particular occasion. And Jonathan told David, I tried to talk to my father about your case. His heart is terrible. Evil is determined concerning you. Please run for your life. Run. He wept. He said, take my sword. They exchanged sword and garment. It was a covenant. If you die, David, it will not be my sword. I won't kill you. Have it. And David ran. And the next day, the feast came. And David's father said, Saul said, where is David? Where is David? His seat is empty. The son of Jesse. Jonathan said, excuse me, sir. He took permission from me that there is a feast in his father's house and he cannot be here. David, Saul lost his temper, carried the same javelin and threw at Jonathan. He ran. He said, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. You have chosen the son of Jesse to your shame and to the shame of your mother's wickedness. You don't know that as long as David is alive, you cannot have the throne. I want to kill him and you don't want me to kill him. And Jonathan returned back. What has he done? He will not die. And he too ran from there in anger and went and met David and said, just be on your way. God knows that you will be king and I will be next to you. Just be on your way. The throne is for you. My father can't even help it. Are you hearing me? Jonadab killed Ammon. Jonathan saved David. What is your friend? Is either a Jonadab or a Jonathan? Not in between. You either have a Jonadabic association or a Jonathanic association. I'd like you to begin to x-ray your relationships right now. The people around your life. And ask yourself, is this a Jonathan or a Jonadab? Who do I have? Who has been speaking into my life? Whose counsel have I been hearing? A Jonathan or a Jonadab? Take your seat. And let us have some counsels. I am trying to dwell on this matter of friendship because the youth age group is the age group of the strongest friendship influence. Somebody lost her virginity because a friend encouraged her. One young girl came to me and said, sir, I have a child. She's not married yet. And the child is 7 years old. I say, oh, you don't look like it. They say, yes. On campus, I had a friend. Unknown to me, the friend had a boyfriend that was an occultic person. And the friend of her boyfriend told her, I like that girl. And this bad girl began to befriend this good girl. And she thought she came innocently to be a friend. Unknown to her, she came to befriend her in order to arrange her for her boyfriend's friend. Long story made short, the arrangement was done. Innocently, she went to meet the boy. Unknown to her, a rape was arranged. That rape led to a pregnancy. That pregnancy led to her being abandoned by her family. Her destiny amputated. Because she came out of school. Everything disconnected because of one bad friend. There are people here today or people hearing me. The first time they smoked marijuana was because of a friend around them. The first time they went to a nightclub or a party was because there was a friend around them. Archbishop Bessie Dahosa of blessed memory said, 1,000 good friends are not enough. But one bad friend is too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much. And let me say, it is better to be without a friend than to be surrounded with the wrong one. It is better to be friendless or to be without a friend than to be connected to the wrong friend. Take four things down. Concerning my counsel on the issue of friendship, I took time on this because that is one of the greatest disasters of the youth. And that is the following. This is counsel now. I've said three things concerning maintaining the right association. But counsel number one says, relationship is by choice, not by force. Never allow anybody to force themselves on you. And don't force yourself on anybody. Relationship is by choice.
and not by force. Counsel number two. Your friend should possess nothing less than 75% of the character you carry or desire. Your friend should possess, or let me call it your potential friend, should possess nothing less than 75 to 80% of the same character you carry or the character you desire. Because it is iron that sharpens iron. Wood cannot be sharpened by iron. Eagles flock together. Or rather, birds of the same feather flock together. Your friend, whoever is your friend, if you like integrity, they like integrity. If you don't criticize people, they don't criticize people. If you are not worldly, they are not worldly. If you are not seductive, they are not seductive. If you are not giving to vanity, they are not giving to vanity. It is not possible for you to have a character opposite the character of your friend and claim that you are going anywhere. Your friend should carry at least 75 to 80% of the character you carry or the character you desire. Third counsel, love liberally, but befriend carefully. Love liberally, but befriend carefully. Relate liberally, but befriend carefully. Be liberal in loving people. Don't be hostile. Don't maintain enmity with people. Greet people. Be a generally good person. But when it comes to who is your friend, you befriend carefully, because a wise man said, love is a command, but relationship is a choice. You are not commanded that you can marry anybody you see. And the counsel number final, anyone not going your direction must not command your association. Hello? Anyone not going your direction. You are going to Lagos, or you are going to Ilesha or Ibadan, and the person is going to Abuja. Will you enter the same vehicle? Anybody not going your direction must not command your association. Give you this illustration. You are at the airport flying to Nairobi, Kenya, and you met someone you knew in 1975 around the airport there. And you say, ah, pastor, man of God, are you the one I'm seeing like this? This is over 35 years since we met last in Benin. So, wow, it is well with you. Now, if, sir, you will allow this man to engage you and he is not traveling anywhere, when they announce your flight, you won't hear. That will never be your portion. Am I communicating? He said, ah, John, are you the one? Kai, I miss you, man. Well done, well done. What about our other guy? Is it Mike? Yes. Wow, powerful. Powerful. As for me, the way things are now, it's better for you than me. Engage you in endless discussion. Your flight was announced and left 30 minutes. You haven't heard. And then when you arrive at the counter, they said, the flight that is going to Abuja, is it, which one? Is it the 5 p.m. flight? He said, no, the 2 o'clock flight. I said, ah, you didn't hear? I just left 30 minutes ago. Why? By engagement with the wrong association, you were established in stagnation. You lost time. You lost hours. By engagement with the wrong association, you were established in frustration. But hear this. Supposing the man too is flying somewhere. You are going to Abuja, but he is going to Kano. You say, I'm flying to Kano. Please, I am listening. I'm listening out for my flight announcement. Say, me too, I'm going to Abuja. That one is better for you. But do you know the best one for you? The one who is going to Abuja also. Because you are listening for the same flight. Beloved, anyone not going in your direction must not command your association. Because not everybody who came to the market came to buy anything. Not everybody in the motor park is traveling. Not everybody in the barrack is a soldier. Some are civilians. Some who went to the market went to steal. Some who went to the motor park went to see somebody off. And if you know you are traveling somewhere and you came to buy something and make major transactions in this world, be careful about who you call friend. Don't even pity anybody into friendship. Relate with them afar. Pastor, you say, I shouldn't be the friend of everybody. Does it mean people are my enemies? No. Is it everybody that is your friend? No. The person who is not a friend, is he your enemy? No. Who is he? I know him. And I know many people. Don't you know many people? Somebody stand on your feet with a loud shout of hallelujah. And I want you to do this. Now, after this service, I'd like you to please remain standing. Do a friendship audit. A relationship audit. Who and who are around me right now? What are they saying to me? What are they doing for me? Who should be my priority? Somebody say priority. What kind of relationship should be my priority? And then you find out, who should become my posteriority? No. Priority is the one you are going to emphasize. Posteriority is the one you put behind you. At the back. Just, who will be my posteriority? I would like you to help me speak to 7 people before you sit down and tell them, please, relate carefully. Go ahead and tell them. Please, relate carefully. Go ahead. Relate carefully. Relate carefully. Relate carefully. Mashanagalaya. And lift your right and say, I shall relate carefully in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. I have done 4 and I have 4 more, but I'm going to rush these 4 because of time. So the first standard that Daniel kept was living with a sense of purpose. 2, living with an undefiled life and conscience. 3, living by conviction, not consensus. 4, maintaining the maintenance of the right association. And 5, living with an unhidden godly identity. Living with an unhidden godly identity. Daniel was a man again of notorious spirituality. He was a man with an unhidden godly identity. A man who represented God fully in his generation. He was a man that nobody could claim ignorance of. His spirituality was not in doubt. His enemy said, if you want to find any fault with Daniel, find it regarding the law of his God. Find it. When they said nobody should pray, Daniel opened his windows so that nobody can claim they didn't hear him praying. He opened his windows. In case you didn't hear, I want to pray loud. I want to play clear. An unhidden godly identity. There are so many people today They carry their Bible, they hide their Bible. When a message is playing and a friend enters the room, they off the cassette. You can never tell that they have anything to do with God. They never mention God in their discussions with people. That is not a standard. But let me say this concerning living with an unhidden spiritual identity. Number A, 5A. To take a stand for God is to stand out in life. To take a stand for God is to stand out in life. You cannot take a stand for God and not stand out in life. Ask Daniel, ask Joseph, ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Number B, 5B. God stands by those who stand for him. God stands by those who stand for him. Where you stand for God, he stands by you. Daniel entered the lion's den and God stood by him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered the flaming fiery furnace and God stood there with them. God stands by those who stand for him. Another way to say it is, who you represent determines who responds to you in times of need. Who you represent determines who responds to you in times of need. Who you represent determines who responds to you in times of need. Thirdly, when your identity is known, your temptations are slim. They won't tempt you with alcohol if they know you are SU. When your identity is known, your temptations are slim. The immoral lecturer will make immoral advances more towards the immoral looking girl than towards the godly looking sister. Am I communicating? When your identity is known, they see you as a firebrand, Bible believing, devil chasing Christian. They cannot come and invite you to join the cult. Laga barakuta gazagalagayadas. Lakwa suakwa tuakwa gagadagalas. Lefita kaduka labruka dagadika lagaragadagazash. They hear you blasting tongues, eyes red in the spirit. No. Huh? But when they see you moving about, displaying muscle, just moving about with one tattoo somewhere, say, guy, which one you belong? You say you don't belong for where you must belong. In fact, that they have informed you about the cult is a challenge. That they have informed you to come and join, you are already in challenge. But they can't see you carry a massive deck annotated reference Bible, Thompson's chain reference under your hand, and you are moving like a mobile tornado. Hey! Hey! My moving like a mobile volcano, a ball of fire in motion. When they see you, they give chance. Can somebody again stand up on your feet? Tell three people, exist as a mobile volcano. Exist as a mobile tornado. Hey! Somebody give the Lord a loud shout of hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. When your identity is known, your temptations are slim. And finally, under this point, to function as a kingdom representative is to function with a kingdom ambassadorial mantle.
function as a kingdom representative in your class, in your family, in your generation, is to function
with a kingdom ambassadorial mantle, an ambassador for heaven. My wife and I were meant to be here 2 days ago from Ghana, where we went to preach. But the flight had a challenge, the flight schedule didn't work out, so we couldn't come straight. We went to Abuja. At the airport in Ghana, the VVIP place, a man came and met us. Look at me and said, "Ambassador, ambassador." I looked at him and said, "Hello, sir." He said, "Ambassador. Oh, you are not the one. You look like an ambassador that I know." My wife and I, we kept quiet. When we landed at Abuja, before we could come down, one man, like an Alhaji, sitting near us, he came to me and I said, "You are ambassador from which country?" The same day, under 2 hours, because they could see a mantle that is ambassadorial. Hey! There is somebody here today. I see you live here with an ambassadorial mantle. Ambassadorial mantle. Shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat. 3 more to go. Very, very fast. What standard? Number 5, we said, living with an unhidden spiritual identity. Number 6, maintaining a rigid spiritual stroke prayer discipline. The maintenance of a rigid spiritual stroke prayer discipline. Daniel had a rigid spiritual discipline, a rigid prayer discipline. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, the Bible said that Daniel went to his house to pray 3 times a day, as he prayed as at other times. Hello? No law in the land could stop Daniel. I came across the story of John Wesley. It was said that his schedule was as rigid as a son. I trained to be a medical doctor, and I was on fire for God before I went to medical school. So when I went to the university, it was becoming very difficult, because 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, we had lectures. Only 1 hour in between, 8 to 6, 8 to 6, 8 to 6, 8 to 6, 1 hour in between. I went through direct entry, so it was for 5 solid years, second year to 6th year. What do I do? I must pray. So I began to wake up ahead of others. I will pray for between 1 to 3 hours every morning before 8 a.m. Because I decided that my spiritual life must not be buried because of academics. And God made me to excel in many ways. Beloved, brothers and sisters, to meet the master standard, you must maintain a rigid spiritual discipline. Take note of 3 of the following things I'm about to say. 6A, your routine determines your result. Your routine, the routine you keep determines the result you see. You can also say that your schedule determines your success. Show me your routine and I can predict your result. Show me your schedule and I can predict your success. Where there is no routine, there can be no significant result. Where there is no schedule, there can be no success. Secondly, discipline is the bedrock of distinction. Discipline, especially spiritual discipline. Discipline is the bedrock of distinction. The discipline of prayer, the discipline of study, the discipline of fasting, the discipline of worship. Thirdly, what you do perpetually and not what you do occasionally is what determines your destiny. What you do perpetually and not what you do occasionally is what defines your destiny. People pray occasionally. Those who pray occasionally can never have a solid destiny in God. People study the Bible occasionally. It is not what is done occasionally, but what is done perpetually, what is done habitually. I was getting a little insight into our daddy's schedule. When it is prayer time, when it is prayer walk, it was amazing. Up till this time of life, a rigid spiritual schedule. And God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo said, your habit determines your habitat. What is your habit today determines your habitat, where you will end tomorrow. For every child of God here today in the university, my spiritual prescription for you is one dose of prayer maquin, especially glossolalia. Glossolalia. Tongues. Daily. Four tablets of Remanadol. That's daily. That is minimum of four chapters, minimum, daily, of the scripture. And 1 to 2 weekly fastoprel. Once, minimum once weekly, and then possibly twice weekly of consecrational fast. You are not fasting to look for money. You are fasting to generate fire. You are not praying for husband yet. Ay, 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 ay. Weekly. Oh, monthly. Well, once it's monthly, I will talk to the pastors. But I want you to do minimum 1 hour in tongues. Minimum. That is, you didn't pray at all. Daily. Bagalaga baragada gayaga brutos. Leke pike lige brigada galaka sakala. You didn't study the Bible at all. 4 chapters. A day. You didn't fast in the week at all. Once to twice. I like you to maintain such regimen, and you become a mobile danger. Danger in motion to the kingdom of darkness. When I was in Kenya, said the once in a while, the lion will do. And it will be heard 8 kilometers radius. And all animals will take over. And I asked the tour guide, what annoyed him? He said, nothing. Why is he roaring? He saw food to eat. He said, nothing. I say, what is he doing? He said, he's charging to maintain territory. Are you sitting like that? Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. Ay, 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 ay
Help me walk to seven people. Tell them you must charge to maintain territory. You must charge. You must charge. You must charge. Is somebody ready to charge for 1 minute? Charge for 1 minute. Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. Le-te-ke-pe-ke-pera. La-ka-sa-ta-la. I-ke-te-shuda. Ka-shadi. I-ke-la-para. I-ke-si-tele. Ma-ja-ga-la-ga-ya-da-bara. Ma-so-ke-pe-la-ya. I-te-para-da-ga-la-ya-ya-ya. Somebody shout, power! Take your seat. In your family, you shall maintain the territory. In your school, you shall take charge. In your community, you shall take charge. In your nation, you shall take charge. Somebody shout, yes! Take your seat, please. Daniel maintained a rigid schedule. And I want to beg you, before I met my wife, I had a weekly prayer schedule that was run. And when we met and entered courtship, she was recruited and incorporated into that schedule. And she had her schedule before we met. So she had her day of prayer. I had my day of prayer. And we had a corporate day of prayer for 2 years and 3 months of courtship. And it was fire prepared for the future. Beloved, I challenge you, maintain a schedule. Number 7, what discipline? And then number 8, and we are true. Like I said, in less than 10 minutes, we should be true. Number 7, numbers 8, 6, we said, the maintenance of a rigid spiritual and prayer schedule. And number 7, the placing of spiritual commitment above earthly placement. Placing spiritual commitment above earthly placement. What is the meaning of that? Daniel was a vice president, yet he could still pray. He could still fast. When they say nobody should pray, Daniel was ready to lose his job instead of not praying. He was ready to lose his job. We must place spiritual commitment above earthly placement. There are many of us here today. A time is going to come. You are going to become a multi-billionaire. You are going to become a governor, a vice president, a president. You are going to become a senator, a big generational impactor. But when that time comes, you must still be humble enough to be an usher. You must still be humble enough to sing in the choir. You must still be humble enough to be a cleaner in the sanctuary. Your 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours prayer schedule must be maintained. Can I tell you something, sirs? Daniel was not a pastor. He was not a full-time minister. He never held a microphone. The same with Joseph. The same with Abraham. The same with Esther. But these people were rigid spiritually. You must place spiritual assignment ahead of earthly placement. And let me say only one thing and then we'll go to the last point. And that one thing is this. The place you give to God in your life determines the place you find on earth. The place you give to God in your life, it determines the place you find on earth. Let me say another one. Your priority determines your prosperity with God.
your priorities. Is it money that is ahead? Do you place the earthly achievements ahead? Your priority determines your prosperity with God. And point number 7 standard says, placing kingdom assignment above earthly placement. And number 8, which is number last, is the maintenance of the spirit of excellence. The maintenance of the spirit of excellence. Whatever must be done as a child of God must be done with the spirit of excellence. And let me say this as I round off. Excellence determines eminence. Excellence determines eminence. Excellence determines prominence. Excellence, it determines abundance. Excellence. Daniel was a man with the spirit of excellence. Excellence is more rewarding than mediocrity. And mediocrity is the cousin of poverty. Excellence is more rewarding than mediocrity. And mediocrity is a relation of poverty. You can't see mediocrity and not see poverty. Spirit of excellence. Please make up your mind never to identify with God on the grounds of mediocrity. Be the top in your class. Be the top in your family. Do it well. Represent God well. And then you are meeting the master standard. When you represent God well, you are meeting the master standard. And when you meet the master standard, you can become an exceptional vessel. Is God speaking to somebody here? You can become a vessel of honor. Beloved, many Christians make it difficult for God to promote them. Why? Because they present God with mediocrity. And they want the righteous God to place a mediocre person above unbeliever people that are more excellent. And God say, I am not unrighteous. I am not. You do things shabbily. And you want me to place you on top of a more careful, a more prudent person. I will not do that. But when you supply God excellence, he supplies you eminence. Stand up on your feet. Supply God excellence. He supplies you eminence. C.S. Dow, a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before ordinary men. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody bless, say amen. Amen. Take your seat. Take your seat. The reason is there are many people here who are not yet alert. Who is the most blessed person here today? How many of you are over blessed? Okay, take your seat. The person blessest. The blessest person here, stand with a loud shout. A louder shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. A loud more shout of praise. Help me and shake the hands of 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tell them, I am blessed beyond measure. I am blessed. Beyond measure. In Jesus' name. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord for what you received. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Thank the Lord for what you received.
up Jesus. Lift up your two hands and say after me, say, Father, I receive the grace to live with a sense of purpose. I receive the grace to live with an undefiled life, an undefiled conscience. I receive the grace to live by conviction, not consensus. I receive the grace to maintain the right association. I receive the grace to live with an unhidden spiritual identity. I receive the grace to maintain a rigid spiritual and prayer discipline. I receive the grace to place the spiritual above the earthly. I receive the grace to walk in excellence. Lift your hands and your voice and speak to God. Speak to God. Go ahead, speak to God. Speak to God. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands high up, people. I am going to ask that the mantle of Daniel will come on people here today. The Daniel mantle. But before we do that, I want to give a call for anyone here today. Yesterday we gave two altar calls, both me and Dr. Mrs. Enenche. Maybe you didn't respond yesterday or you were not here yesterday. But you know your life is not right with God. Your relationship needs to be corrected. Maybe you are battling with a habit. Smoking, drinking, masturbation, lesbianism, unbelief, battling with backsliding, and you want to make your way right with Jesus today. You say, Pastor, I want to be delivered from the power of sin. I want to make it right with Jesus. Anywhere you are, I'll give the count of seven and I want you to rush forward here. You want to be helped to live a righteous life and a godly life. Rush forward. One. Give the Lord a clap as they come. Come with your things, Bibles and bags. And two. You want to be forgiven of your sins. You want Jesus to be Lord of your life. And three. And four, and five, Metumakagi Eze Metumakagi. Six. Seven. Metin makagi. Onye ebe ma. Metin makagi. Makagi. Papa no ekwe kwala. Kam diri otu awela. Metin makagi. Eze. Ekwe kwala. Kam diri otu awela. Oh. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are. Those in the front, first of all, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Those of you in the front, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have come before you today to ask for forgiveness for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, I pray for these people. I ask that the hold of sin be broken off their lives, and that grace will come upon them to live for you and to serve you. In Jesus' precious name. By your right hand side here, a counselor is holding a counseling banner over there. Please follow him, and he's going to lead you and direct you. Your names will be taken down, and you will be prayed for establishment. Give the Lord a big clap as they go. Everybody remain standing on your feet. Lift your two hands. Everybody, how many of us want the Daniel mantle? Lift your hands high. I am going to ask God to raise a Daniel from your family, and that will be you. To raise an Esther from your family. Lift your voice 1 minute and speak to God. I receive the mantle to exist like a Daniel in my generation. I receive it now. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the Daniel mantle of perpetual relevance to impact my generation. I receive that mantle now. Lift your hands high up. Close your eyes in concentration. I am going to ask God to release it upon you, and I am going to count up to 7 when I say in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time I reach 7, you will bring your hands on your head and scream at the top of your voice, I receive! Then you begin to blast in tongues. Some of you, yokes in your body will be broken. Ancestral spirits, familiar spirits, spirit husbands, whatever it is shall be broken. And then the mantle shall be imparted, and you shall begin to function with excellence like you have never imagined before. So I'm going to count up to 7. 1, 2, 3. By the time we say 7, you bring down the head on your hand on your head and scream, I receive. Some of you will be overwhelmed by the power of God, and you will not know where you are for the next 2-3 minutes. Lift your hands up. Father, let that mantle fall upon the people. Let yokes be broken. Let sicknesses be healed. Let excellence be released. At the count of 7. That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Receive. Pray. That's right. Something is happening. Have that usher there. Something is happening. Power. Receive. Pray.
that are here, please. Let's move into the people. Let's help her, please. Let's help her. Rabo sekete de bolibra. Lagarabo asete de bolibro. Eke de bogo soko do lo bolibra babo kachete de bo. Eke de ke. E parabo kosete de bolibra bo. Legalo kazanda la babo bo. Don't keep your mouth short. In a short while, we'll be done. Open your mouth. Speak the language of the Spirit. Let the power of God walk upon your life. Let it walk upon your foundation. Let it walk upon your destiny. Keep praying. Skelebori bro. Nadabo kazandalababo. Eke tekeleboli bro. Koshendeleboli babo. Igada gadabo.
Let it rain. Oh, your rain. Let it fall on us. Open the floodgates in abundance. And cause your rain to fall on us. Somebody help me.
Amen. As you lay those two hands upon your head, I will make some prophetic decree from this holy altar, and your total liberation shall come like fire. Let your amen be resounding with fire. Father, in the name of Jesus. As they shout a thunderous amen, let those things be roasted and come out by fire now. It is written, strangers, they will obey me, they will submit to me, and they will fade out and come out of their hidden closet with fear. Every strange thing in the body of that young man from Kaduna, in the body of that young lady from Akwa Ibom, from the body of everybody that is here, if you will say a loud amen with faith in your heart and sense in your head, I command those strangers, come out now! Ouch! Out! 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 Come out! Come out! In the name of Jesus! I take authority over that foul spirit responsible for sickness, responsible for your stagnation, responsible for your backwardness, responsible even for your near success problem. In the name that is above every other name, I command those spirits, come out of them. Lose your hold upon them. Lose your hold. Lose your hold. In the name of Jesus. The word of the Lord says, if the Son set you free, you are set free indeed. I command your total freedom to come now. You are free. Free from demonic affliction. Free from demonic sorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus. Beginning from now, begin to move forward. Your life will begin to take acceleration from forward. In the name of Jesus. Even before you leave camp, we will hear your testimony. And for the man of God that the Lord has used, we pray that the oil of gladness upon him and his ministry will never run dry. In the name of Jesus, we decree in one accord that Satan will not write the concluding story of his life, his family, and ministry in the name of Jesus. On a daily basis, he will keep swearing. And for everyone that is saying amen, you will also swear. Thank you, precious Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. For those